Let us pray. Lord, speak to us during these testing times by the power of your Spirit, and bring consolation and hope in Jesus' name. Amen. Picture for a moment the scene in the upper room. Jesus and his 12 close followers are gathered for the last time. Only two of them know that fact. The meal begins. Small talk flows. But then the volume and intensity of feelings begin to rise. John tells us that a dispute broke out among the disciples. Who is the greatest disciples? They asked. All claimed to be the greatest. Each extolled their virtues. Each except one. Slowly and silently, Jesus stands to his feet. His face shows the pain he feels that even now the disciples do not understand. He deliberately steps away from the table. He loosens the belt which holds his robe and lays it aside. He picks up the towel lying there and wraps it around himself. He no longer looks like the Messiah. Now he looks like a slave. Perhaps it is Andrew who first notices what is happening, and he grows strangely quiet. One by one, each disciple is captured by quiet. Silence is all that can be heard. Each man hears his own heavy breathing caused by the electric-like awe which engulfs the room. The splashing of the water being poured in the basin sounds like a great rushing river. It is so quiet. Each disciple swallows hard and tries to get hold of himself. Jesus now comes to John and begins to wash his feet. John sits in a coma-like trance. This cannot be happening, he thinks to himself. But it is. And so it is unto Thomas and Simon and Philip. The reaction is always the same. Still, no one can say a word. Now, it's Judas Iscariot's turn. Jesus knows who Judas really is. He's not fooled. But maybe, just maybe, the die wasn't cast yet. Maybe Jesus could still reach through the false layer of shallow commitment and lay hold of that part of every person that longs to believe. Jesus kneels and begins to pour the water over the feet of Judas. With tender compassion, he bathes the feet of one set to destroy him. I was wrong about this man, Judas thinks to himself. He almost had me convinced that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. But look at him now. He looks like any slave which can be bought for 50 shekels down at the marketplace. Can this be the Son of God? Does the great God of the universe come down in such a humble form as this? A foot washer? Nah. And so, Judas sits there, feeling good that he has finally seen through this act which Jesus has been putting for so long. Judas is very much like any one of us. We do not feel deep down that God really does do everything he can to win us, even if it means getting down on his knees. Jesus was not concerned with hygiene as much as with showing in a dramatic but humble way that God has always gone to the greatest length to save his people. And having loved his own who are in this world, Jesus now showed them the outer limits of his love. You see, the hardest thing for us to accept is our acceptability before God. Now, we might believe that God loves the great saints of the world, but deep inside where belief really matters, we have not come to grips with the fact that God loves and accepts us just as we are, what and all. But ours is a God who gets down on his knees before us to say in the most dynamic way that he can, "You are acceptable to me." You see, God had concluded that the prophets and priests he had sent before could not get through to his people. And so he came in a person. And this very act of coming was so shockingly humble that many people missed it. Today, as the world struggles with the corona pandemic, many will again miss seeing God in our suffering. See, everywhere you turn now, people in the secular world are asking the same question. How can God allow this? How can your Christian God allow this? So let me make it as clear as I possibly can once and for all. God is not punishing us with corona. Oh no. God is not full of anger. God is love. And COVID-19 is simply a manifestation of the evils of this world, like cancer, like AIDS, Ebola, dementia, and many, many others. But God is active in the life of his people, helping any which way he can. As some of us are too shocked to see God in action, and we will miss him at all if we don't look carefully. But if you really cared to look, you'll see God in the actions of the doctors, the nurses, the pharmaceutical companies, the virtual church and the prayer groups, the first responders in the neighborhood, groups organizing food distribution and shopping for others, and millions of others working flat out to meet the needs of God's people in this crisis. It may sound strange, but many of us have the wrong perception of God. Now, this perception says that God could not really love me. Well, at least not the way I am. But on the other hand, we have too low of a view of ourselves. We think, I am so messed up. God could not love and accept me. Yet, here in our passage, we see our God on his knees saying, "Yes, I do accept you. Can you accept me?" It is a wonderful thing for us at the Church of Christ, the Cornerstone, when we realize we do not have to clean up our lives before God accepts us. The gospel comes to us as if God sent a personal invitation to each one of us with the inscription, "Come as you are." God has never been the old man upstairs ready to lash out at those who displease him with a dose of corona or Ebola. Oh no, 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 no. Instead, God is that great, loving, compassionate being who invites us to call him Father, Abba. He is our protector. Many of you hearing these words now might begin to feel the truth of God's love break through to you. You see, having faith in God is primarily trusting in the trustworthiness of our Lord. He has done all that he can do to say, come and be mine. Can you really refuse an invitation from a God who gets on his knees to show that he cares? Can you? Jesus now turns to his 11 disciples, having washed their feet, and commands them that they must love each other as he loves them. Already, Judas had left and refused Jesus' love. But Jesus' love is an inclusive love. Skin color, gender, or nationality were not important. He loves everyone without discrimination. And this is the command he gives his disciples and you and me, that we should love one another. Now, if you put a piece of iron in the presence of an electrified field, that piece of iron itself will become electrified. And in the presence of that electrified field, it is changed into a magnet. If it remains in contact with that field of power, it will continue to attract other pieces to itself. Now we, my sisters and brothers, are like that piece of iron. In the presence of Christ, we experience his love and take on his likeness. We are changed, electrified by the Holy Spirit to attract others to the same love of God that we experience. So, our task this Easter and beyond is simple: to be co-workers in Christ, loving as he loves and accepting those whom he accepts. It must be this way. If we say and claim that we love the Lord, then we must love others as he has loved us. That is a commandment. May the peace of the Lord be with you all. Amen.